upcoming study, and we found the subject quite stimulating, and it's brought up quite a number of questions. So we're anticipating you, brother, and how you have accepted the study, and maybe some of the points that you've exercised in your life to try to magnify the answers. So, Brother Al, if you would, please, we'll be happy to have it.
Thank you, Brother Warren. Good afternoon, brethren.
Good afternoon.
Very good to be with you. Sister Kat and I are very pleased to be here again. Since we grew up here, it is like coming home, but it's not the real home. The real home is a different place, and it's in that direction. The study was directed by the class today that we should try to glean from the brethren their experiences, their Ebenezers, and the way that they have used promises in the scriptures in their lives to deal with worry and anxiety. We will consider these questions in order. However, I think from a practical standpoint, your experiences are very important. I don't want to end up at the end of your day with 10 minutes and no testimonies as to the dealings in your life with regard to these issues. So, insofar as question number 6 would be concerned, we will consider your input there any time during the study. We would be pleased to hear that, whether it's in line with the question or if we have to be going over, because I think those personal things are going to be much more important to us. Yeah, there are some brethren who battle daily with issues and difficulties and worry and anxiety with the flesh. Different personality types and mental issues can be a constant source of despair. And indeed, many have to resort to various drugs and control treatments to control that fallen flesh. I think it's important to emphasize before we begin that all Adamic weaknesses are covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness. And that there may be some who may never, in this life, be able to fully overcome the tendencies of the flesh. So we want to concentrate our attitude today on the things on which we have some control, especially the attitude of our heart. Just as David indicated when he said in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. As Brother Wayne indicated, there will be a few roving mics for your use. Please wait for them to get to you before your comment, and please identify yourself in the pages so that those who will be listening to the MP3s later will be able to know who is speaking. The theme text for today is Matthew 6:34, and I especially appreciated the 1912 Weymouth New Testament translation, Matthew 6:34. Do not be over anxious, therefore, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own cares. Enough for each day are its own troubles. So with that, we would like to begin with the first question as to how we can overcome our fleshly shortcomings or the weaknesses of our faith as a way to prevent anxiety. And just to set your minds along a certain path, we have a quote from reprint 3628, which is called, "The Lord is my shepherd," from Psalms 23, which we heard about this morning. And I quote, "We can only overcome by building a strong faith. The stronger it becomes, the less anxiety we will have, because if we truly believe in promises, that becomes a sure foundation, and no good thing will he withhold from these." And with that, we will open it up. There are slides that will be popping up from time to time. They're not in any particular order, but they just have thoughts along these lines that that may be useful or helpful to you. Who would be first? Brother Ed.
Brother Ed, from the head of Holy Jesus. The Lord provided a lot of what in a secular job, I deal with people that have high levels of anxiety. And what we found is that when their life's experiences get so out of control, so overwhelming, that they see no way out. And so what I've done is actually listen to the people, and then when they get done, I start reminding them of all the good things that have happened in their life. And that's like with us, that sometimes life's experiences get so overwhelmed that we can forget that what the word's done is.
Now, with anxiety folks that I deal with are usually focused in today. Today's experiences are so, I can't get through. It's too big. I'm going to, something rash. Then when you're processing it through, saying, no, remember all things that have happened to you in the past. Let's build on that so be able to ease or that anxiety. And so there's a couple scriptures. First leadoff one is Philippians 4:6-7. And it says, be anxious for everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made. And the peace of God passes all comprehension shall guard you.
What you stated, it's in proportion as we develop the faith and remember all the good things. Now, what is it, Joshua 23? Remember all the things that the Lord has done for you. Not one of them has failed. And so when you rely on that, it reduces the anxiety level. And the other scripture we have is Psalm 68:19-21. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. The Lord who is our salvation. God is the God to us of deliverances. And to God, the Lord belongs, escapes from death. And when we remember that we have a burden there, that he understands our pain. That's always good to have a buddy that understands what you're going through. And that can sympathize and hand it into your experiences. And so these scriptures have been helped to me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, the application of these scriptures really is something that we need to put our arms around and embrace. It was interesting you used the Philippians 4:6-7 scripture. I approached Brother Wes a little earlier today. I said, hey, Brother Wes, you gave a talk not long ago. Be not anxious. And I thought it was a very good talk. I said, I wonder if you could condense that for me in about 5 minutes. And his eyes got a little bigger that set of scriptures is so very important. I do want to just touch on it now. We have Philippians 4, actually, Brother Leslie 6-9. There was a 4-step process in there to help the brethren. And Ed has already applied some of this, but the first in verse 6 was a connection with communion with our Lord. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving is a first step. The second step is in verse 7, and it's reliance on Christ. We need to rely, we need to believe, we need to know, and we need to trust that those things which he has promised us are going to come true. In verse 8, he talked about thought control and that we have to try to actually get into our heads and to control our thoughts. And the fourth, of course, is obedience. How's that, Brother West? Did that work for you? I recommend that highly. If you go on, I'm sure it's online on the databases, and it's a very step-by-step process. So thank you, Brother West. For that particular
one. Tim. Yeah, I'm Tim from Wilmington. One of the things that was mentioned almost when we studied these questions last week was some of what's already been mentioned, but the precious promises in general, how we need to be aware of those. And Brother Martin Ford brought that out, as well as other brethren in our studies. But he quoted page 4 in the Precious Promise book, and it said, the heart must be filled with the promises, so that the promises of the divine word be not received into the heart to satisfy its cravings or longings. It will feast upon other things, and the world, the flesh, and the devil are all crowding in upon it, offering various attractions, some of which will be received if the heart be not filled and kept filled. So nature abhors a vacuum, so if we're not filling our heart with the right things, then other things are going to creep in. And there are so many promises that are specifically pointed towards this thought of not being over anxious about the cares of this life and how we can apply those scriptures to our life. And to become familiar with them is the first way of being able to apply them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Precious promises are very important. Precious promises are. They give us that. There's blessings. If we embrace them and we believe them, they become our own. That's a very important concept. Be next, Cheryl.
There's more than one way that we took this question as we discussed it on the way up here. And from the standpoint of being anxious because of something that we have done to feel bad or we didn't succeed in what we were trying to do, we have two scriptures, one in Psalm 94, 18 and 19. If I should say, my foot has slipped, thy loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolation delight my soul. The other one is from Psalm 139, 23, and 24, which are, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So one thing that I think is helpful is to bring those anxious thoughts to the Lord, lay them before him, give them as a gift of our hearts and our concerns, and then trust him to take care of them.
That prayer life, that prayer communication is very important for us. We can lay our hearts and bear our hearts to our Heavenly Father, and he will respond. Such a happy in that.
Sister Kathy Crossman from Allentown. Knowing the promises, reading the promises is very, very important, but I think more important is claiming them for your own. And I think that's the most difficult problem brethren sometimes have. I like the example of Christ and his disciples in the boat and how they were so fearful when he had fallen asleep and a storm arose. And, you know, how he responded to them concerning their faith. And he was right there. He was right in the boat with them. And it's kind of the same with us. Christ is with us. He's right around us. He's in our presence. But they didn't claim him. They didn't take that support to themselves, even though he was right there. And so, I really feel that that's the biggest thing we have to do is find a promise, really believe that each experience is necessary for a betterment, and if we really truly believe that, then we cannot be concerned about things that are happening in our lives because they're meant to aid us in making our calling. And there's a very good article that further Bunyan is the 50th, number 50 in this talk. And there's another part of it for another question that I'll probably want to bring up. But he really had a very, very good article regarding this. One of the things in Isaiah 46, 9 to 11, I have purposed it and I will do it. And so anything God has put his mind to, he will do it. And part of that is helping us become the bride of Christ.
Thank you very much.
Indeed, we have that promise. It's peace through his promises, which we have made our own. How very important that is. We have to make these our own, or simply not going to work the way we think. 354:32, as Kathy mentioned, the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus reminded his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Nothing can in any wise hurt us if our hearts are stayed on him. Good evening. Sit down.
Well, I think doctrine can help within anxiety, sort of a stressor on doctrine. And I don't know whether or not this paragraph would be helpful to anybody else from the sixth volume, but it's a takeoff of the scripture in Hebrews 4:10. We would have believed doing the rest. He that is entered into his rest by hath also ceased from his own works if God did from his. And the point is on the 6 days of labor and the one day of rest, and then Joshua, represented by Jesus, would bring us into this rest. The paragraph reads, believers like God have perfect confidence in Christ's ability and willingness to carry out all of Jehovah's great projects in respect to our race, and therefore rest. Not only physical weariness, but from concerns, from anxiety, from any desire to take the matter out of Christ's charge or to attempt to secure the results by any other means. I believe that if we can constantly keep in mind why we consecrated and that this life is just an addendum to get there, it's sin offering experiences, whatever is given to us to live through, whatever they be, whether they're pleasant or they're not pleasant. And then we can rest in the fact that the Lord has charge.
Thank you. Yes, you have a situation where the experiences that we have are to do something for us, to help our character, to improve our character, to help us along the path. It's not arbitrary as the world sees it. They say stuff happens every day, but for us, the very everything that we approach in life, everything that we touch, gives us lessons that we need to apply to our characters. Sister Hillman.
Sister Alex Walcott, is at look for what God's will is in your life and change what you're doing before. As I have in Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, with pleasing and perfect will.
It takes trust. And by it, she said something very important, by the renewing of your mind. This is where the control of your thoughts comes in. You need to continue to get to bring it up, to direct yourself in the proper paths.
I'm Margaret Earl from Washington, D.C. I was looking at 2 Chronicles 32, when Hezekiah was talking to the, when Assyrians came, and Hezekiah would say, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God who helped us and who fights our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king Judah. So just to remember that there is a difference. Our enemy has the arm of flesh, but
we ask the Lord to find our death.
So take it to the Lord in prayer. And, you know, if only Israel would have embraced that concept when the unfaithful remnant was there. It may be a different story, but we'll leave that for tomorrow's discourse. Anyone else on question one?
I'm Sister Mary Quisby from the Council of Ecclesia, and sometimes I get overcharged with the world. I have to mow the grass, I gotta get the car washed, I have to find a pet sitter, and it overwhelms me. And then I remember my favorite scripture, which is Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, fear not, I will help thee. And I reset my clock on what really matters. And although I have to deal with the earthly things, I have a higher goal in mind. And the earthly things become something that I do for the Lord. I learn how to mow the lawn for the Lord, how to wash my car. These things were given to me at the beginning. And I just reset my clock by remembering that He is there to help me.
And He will indeed. Actually, Brother Tom's list, probably on your list, and I appreciated that too very much, because I have things on there that I really haven't, you know it's there, but you really put it down and decide to maybe concentrate on changing some of the earthly and move into a more spiritual thing. It helps to have that, just have that, that video in front of you. Yes, if you're doing.
Whenever I have problems with my, well, every day we all have those battles with our flesh. And I try to tell the Lord that I'm His, and I try to reconsecrate myself every day. That hymn 129 is a real blessing. We probably don't have time to sing that right now, but that's a really wonderful hymn.
In 129, the title is?
I found a friend.
Found a friend. That was Joyce Young. Brother Ed, you have another thought? And the brother right here. Ed Linsky first.
We had a manna this past week, 107, Psalms 107, which it's become very real in my work experience. He wrote up verses 28 through 30. And it says, and he cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He causes the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea will be hushed. And they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. And if you look at that promise, you know, anxiety is real. But with that fear of the unknown, but like what everyone was saying, if you trust that this storm, that all things will and have and down the road will work out for our highest welfare, that it makes the storms of life and anxieties be reduced, be in proportion to where we'll be able to handle it. And to realize that we're not in control. It's hard to learn that. But our Heavenly Father is in control of our life. And when we have these experiences, he will give them to us, but one is no more than what we can bear, and He will always provide a way out. Always. And so therefore, when we know that it makes the experiences, at least in our life, easier to bear and easier to get through.
Absolutely. It reminds me of the Romans 8:28 scripture, which was Kathy's grandmother, Bella Ellis' favorite. And you know that to them that love God and all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to His purpose. Brother Ed. Two.
Brother Ed, I'm a wife from Green Bible Students in Michigan. I just wanted to share with you a plaque that we have on our bookshelf, or as Sister Molly would call it, the spiritual pantry. But this plaque says, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow.
It's all in God's hand, and it's all directed towards Him. What do I do?
The computer dictionary says that anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or uneasy of something of an uncertain future outcome. Something of an uncertain outcome. Well, we have a chart of the ages there, just behind Brother Craig here, and that shows a certain outcome. The other part of it is that our Heavenly Father is potter, and we're the clay. And the potter's word goes forth and returns not unto him void. But the uncertain part of it could be as to whether we are faithful or not. So we want to be faithful.
That's how very important, faithful. Sister Kathy, and then...
I was wondering if you could put another slide.
this was her issue now. Go ahead and explain yourself.
No, these are just things from the internet that I found encouraging. But do you have? Okay, I was going to mention one that is a special scripture to me, and that's fine. I've read this before, but somehow it really touched me this time, and it's in Isaiah 49:15-16. It says, can a woman forget her suckling child? I will never forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hand. I mean, that is incredible to me.
Thank you. Brother Steve's next.
I'm Brother Steve Kendall from the Central Kentucky Bible Students. I found a couple of ways, two or three ways of handling these situations from me personally. Well, one of the things that comes to mind is, I think it's even the only song in What a Friend, which says, oh, what peace be offered and forfeit, and oh, what grievous pains be bear, all the coffee be like, took it to the Lord in prayer. And that's one of the things we do. It is we will stand in your bed because we don't open at the feet of the Savior. And if we learn to do that, I think makes things easier. The other thing is I keep saying this to myself, and I make people at work ask me, are you seem to be upset about certain things? And I tell them, it's against my religion to worry. and when I think about that, what is our religion? It's what we are, what we're claiming to be, or what we desire to be. And Christ has told us that we shouldn't worry. So we should be against our religion to worry, because our Master has told us don't do that. So if we make that a part of our lives, and if we think about that, what's causing us anxiety? So we both take it to the Lord in prayer and say, according to my religion, but what I truly believe, I shouldn't worry about it. Because there's the one in Second Corinthians chapter 1, and he says, for the promises of God in him is always yea. So again, having those promises, they're always yea and amen. So if we really put our trust and our rest and our faith in those things, it should relieve us of all our burdens and all those anxieties.
And as Brother Gene Burns would say, the answer is always yes. Another scripture, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, talking about peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. So, Brother Steve has that peace, and everybody else is worried about what's going to happen. But Brother Steve has her head. Sister Mary first, and Brother Ed, too.
Well, one thing I have to add is that some of us who have anxiety have to take medication. And I believe that we should realize that we're in the times of restitution. And this is one of the blessings of restitution. Not that they're going to be taking it in the Garden of Eden, so I'm not making those up in the attic. But some of us who have problems with it, it's the only thing that can help. Then, once your body gets under some kind of a control, to me, another scripture which has been helpful, sometimes you get demented feelings that come into your mind, and that is the scripture to say, get thee behind me, hence the Satan. And Brother Russell has brought this out, even for those who were afraid at the time with spiritism. And I think there's a lot of things in our lives that sometimes go on, which in our time, I believe very strongly that the evil angels are being let loose. This is part of their judgment period. And because of that, they will be plaguing the world. And because we are still in the world, we may be having similar problems.
That we need to be aware of that. And again, many brethren have issues with regard to taking these things. And they're there for control. They do help. Unfortunately, we have some brethren who take those things as regularly as they should. And the worry and the anxiety has a tendency to overcome. But again, this is something that, those physical things, if there's lapses there, those are still covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness. We can know that, that he understands our dream.
And just the two citations, Brother Allen, is Matthew 4:10 and 16:23.
Matthew 4:10 and 16:23. Sister Diane.
Sister Diane Lucas from the New Brunswick class. Someone once said that worry is like paying interest on a mortgage you don't owe. And I think there's a lot of truth to that because sometimes we go through all the what-ifs, especially those of us that are planners by nature. We go through all the different scenarios of what could happen if this happened, what could happen if that happened, and then we try and head these things off of the path. And it's frustrating to us because you can't possibly cover all of the avenues that could occur, all the different scenarios. So I really love this scripture from our text or convention text today. It is my second favorite scripture in the Bible, and I quote it frequently because I try and live in the present and not so much in the future, because I know future sometimes, especially in the flesh, causes worry. And the other thing I wanted to say that in Zechariah, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, the Lord said that it's not by power nor might, but by thy Spirit. And I don't think we should underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And I think we say, well, that can't happen to me. And we don't take that in its full sense. So even in regard to worry or anxiety, it's going to take the power of God to overcome that. You see many in the world that are just plagued with this. And I don't think they can overcome it, just like the rest of the world can't overcome it until God's Spirit is put out from all flesh.
34:15 says, the eyes of Jehovah are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So we know where his attention is focused. His attention is focused on the Spirit of God. Okay, Brother Tim, Sister Lois, and we have an order.
Brother Al, part of that first question, and I think you can give me the second question, is how can we overcome the weaknesses of our faith as a way to prevent anxiety? So I think what suggestions have been given are helping to develop a stronger faith. So that would be the first part. And I think looking back at how the Lord has led us from point A, the beginning, to where we are today, it will remind you about how He has worked in our lives and helped us through difficult experiences. Brother Ed quoted in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where those experiences that we go through are those that are common to mankind. And yet the Lord has promised to provide a way of escape if we'd be able to bear that experience. So the new creature would be unharmed. Someone has once said that he is either within the light and the load, or he would strengthen our backs to be able to carry the load. Someone mentioned in one of the two discourses we maybe wrote of this morning how important the manna text in the Psalms and Nights are to us as a way of developing our faith and being reminded of those promises. And if you look at the index of either the little pocket manna, the maroon one, or the green one, you'll find the subject of faith there listed quite a number of times. And I think there's a reason for that. And it's probably one of the most often mentioned subjects in the manna books, and it's something like 32 times. So that's to help us develop our faith. So as a reminder of that, which has been a help to me also in my walk, is to have a constant reminder of the manna. You don't have to just read the manna for the day. You can find other manna texts that have been helpful and encouraging to you as well, and continue to reflect on that.
Utilize all the scriptures, Sister Lois and Sister Mary.
We have two scriptures, Hebrews 13:5-6, and the promise book, that's on page 84 and 85. The beginning promise of this verse, and our highest interest at the scriptures that will never lose me nor forsake them. And the sixth verse say that we were going to say the Lord is my comfort, and I did not fear that we can do anything. The first verse, our highest interest are matters of our Father's constant care. If we keep bearing them to the world, we are protected from the power of fallen nature. And towards the end of the comments in the sixth verse, it's talking about the Christian position in the world and our relationship to our Heavenly Father and the Lord. And it says that at the same time, He is the full of courage and confidence. No power in the universe is able to create it by God. And He has declared that He is the support and shield of His children. He is the strong tower of those who put their trust in Him. And you mentioned the Philippians series and 4:1-13 was a nice reading, 31:27, which is all right. And partway down through the second paragraph, it starts out, others may rejoice today and cast down tomorrow. Only the faithful in Christ Jesus is privileged to rejoice all right. And then in that paragraph, this rejoicing is not necessarily boisterous, nor necessity the reverse. It implies serenity, happiness, peace, pleasure of soul, however, and does not mean that music demonstration is essential, as some seem to think.
Thank you, Sister Harriet. Last comment on this question,
and I'll give you 2 minutes. Sister Harriet Simone from the Waterbury Connecticut Inclusion. Some mentioned various saints. My mother had a saying, if our Lord accomplished something, it would be worth the energy expended. We know that it doesn't, but that's easy to say intellectually. It's hard to put into practice. And you had mentioned Psalm 34:15, and I had it open to 17-19. But especially the 19th verse, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And one of the afflictions can be worry and anxiety. And that's why the promises come in, because He will deliver us. It doesn't mean we may not struggle with some of these things, and then brethren do, as has been expressed. But ultimately, the Lord will deliver us.
He is faithful, true.
Question number two. When we are gripped by paralyzing or overwhelming worry about the future, what steps should we take to get free? I like to use the story of Elisha's servant, this trial course in 2 Kings 6. Recall that the armies came down against Elisha and his servants. They were going to carry him away, and the servant freaked out. He was anxious. He was worried. He was concerned. And, of course, Elisha prayed to the Lord, and the servant's eyes were open. And what did he see? He saw horses and chariots surrounding them both. And they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And so if we can keep that in mind, we do have those spiritual guardians. Sister Merrily mentioned, the releasing of the fallen. They can't come close to us if the Lord doesn't come in. Sister Kathy, and then...
Well, when you mentioned the angels, what is the Corinthian talk on after God's own heart, number 50? He brought something up that I had never thought about. He said that we have secret service. We have this maximum security protecting us. And the part that I really appreciated about this, he went on to explain how not a shot would get through unless it was needed for our development. This is the part that I love, where he said that take heed that he despised not one of these little ones. This was in Matthew 18:10. For I say unto you that in heaven there are angels who always behold the face of my God, which is in heaven. So those guardian angels have direct contact with the Heavenly Father and go back and forth concerning our experiences and development and overwhelming. And to me, it gives me great comfort to realize that that we have a secret service.
Brother Paul will be next.
Dear brethren, I couldn't mention that I should go by without saying two words. I was here for 3 years in Waterbury, 58 years in Pennsylvania, 24 years.
What will we do?
Overwhelming circumstances.
Rely on the Lord.
Forward. 2:10, beginning at 2:10, I had my Paula and my dear wife. Both were separated 500 miles. What do I do? Which one do I visit and see the most? I didn't want to do. Day by day is the way I took it, what the Lord said. Don't worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. Get over perspective, new creatures. That's our main goal in life now, that our consecration. It's a difficult balance. The Lord directed me to it. It worked out. I didn't fall apart. I believe I got stronger for the experience. All my experiences. I've seen brethren from just about all over the world. We all have one thing in common, the truth. The same everywhere. The brother are pretty much the same, maybe different in expression. But they all handle those things very well. I visited it one time. Sister Esther and I had gone to Romania. And I visited a sister on her deathbed. But it turned out to be her deathbed. 2 weeks after I left, she had passed away. But through the interpreter who was with us, she gave us the hope. Jesus hoping that he was faithful to the covenant that she made with the Lord. And that's what we should do. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just think of what you've done in the past. Are you worthy of that great exaltation that will come in a moment in the twinkling of the eye? You know, they say a physician practices. Well, he's been a doctor for 50 years. By now, he should be done practicing. Well, that's using the word practice in a broad sense. We don't practice the truth. We do it. We better do it. We're bound to do it. And I want to do it. I want to learn as much as I possibly can. So I live in Chicago, Boston, our area. What a wonderful experience that is. Every class that I belong to been an experience. I didn't worry about where I was going after my dear ones parted me. I waited. But, you know, the Lord says, I know not what awaits me. God kindly fills mine eyes. So all our eyes are veiled. We don't know the future, so don't worry about it. I consider that the greatest privilege that God has given us. To not worry about our future. It would drive us mad if we do. I concern myself with the happenings of the world, especially with Israel. And especially now that the Arab community in Jerusalem and the small towns and villages are acting up, and Israel is trying their best to stamp it out. Those things I'm concerned about. I don't worry about them. God has it well in hand. So thank you, dear brother, for your patience in listening to me. The Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Remind us of the Isaiah 43:2 scripture. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Reprint with our Lord upon you.
I want to share with the brethren what I kept in my classroom as an English teacher. Very briefly, the quote said, "Do not waste your time shoveling smoke."
Do not waste your time shoveling smoke. Brother Adam.
Turn to another precious promise. We go to Luke 12:32. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father has gladly given you the kingdom." And our faith is not a strength, you know, Brother Paul set it up where we see the world falling apart. Listen to your co-workers, your neighbors. Their anxiety level is very high because they don't know the outcome of where things are headed. You know, one day it's blue, then it's red, then it's pink, then it's purple. You know, so we don't know what to believe. They just look out the window and see everything falling apart. But this promise, when it remediates the worry, because who's in control? Who's taking his power and reigning and destroying all this old order? Who's replacing it with a new order? You know, we look for new heavens and a new earth. You know, we see the new Jerusalem coming down. That's what gives great peace and knowing that our Lord is in control. That it gives a big peace, but because it gives us a sense of why it's going on and where it's headed. And that our worldly friends have no idea. They just get, you know, in a panic of when they see the Wall Street, you know, one day it gains 500 and the next day it loses 700. You know, and the ups and downs, and so they're worried. But we know the outcome. We know why it's going on. And that in itself
there's a great sense of peace and comfort. So, and we can regulate, you know, we're concerned because, like, we provide everything decent and honest. But, like the scripture says that Brother Larry brought up, the scriptures say, if God can take care of the sparrows, he'll take care of us.
Thank you. And you know, Steve mentioned earlier prayer, how important prayer is. We have the example of our Lord in Hebrews 5:7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplication, strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his God to fear. So our Lord prayed, and he prayed with such passion. Do we pray with such passion? Sometimes things get really, really tough.
To testify, to share our problems with the brethren, because they help us in our spiritual family, to investigate these interactions, it's to bear each other's burden. They might have insight, they may have gone through a similar thing, and be able to see things from a different perspective and help us.
Absolutely. The brethren are there. Use them. They care. They perhaps even been through some of the things that you were addressing, and to draw on their experience of happenings to them and how they dealt with it. That's what this exercise that we're going through today is your people on. But it can. That's just one.
Brother Al, the wording in that question number two just reminded me where it says, when we are gripped by paralyzing or overwhelming worry. In the fifth volume, I forget the page of the study now, so one of the lead scriptures is that is from 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power, and a sound mind of control. And we were reminded in that study that fear is really a tool of the enemy, of the Satan, our adversary. And that kind of fear, it's not the proper fear. Proper fear is reverence to God. But this kind of fear is the kind of crouching, cringing fear that disables us. And so you have to realize that that's not what the Father has given us. He has given us these other things. That if we're lately working on those, the love and the power. And when it says the power of the Holy Spirit, I forget exactly how it's worded now, but it makes us, so it uses the word giants, that we are giants in comparison by having God's Spirit working within us. So remember a brother once said that as we pray to God, I think it was Brother Ken Lawson, as we pray to God, we're speaking to Him and communing with Him. But as we read and study His Word, He's giving back to us. So that is another reminder that we need to make these things priorities, as Brother Tom mentioned to us at the last discourse. Make these things a priority. I don't think anybody's saying these things like we've overcome them, but only from the standpoint that partially maybe as we're dealing with them and trying to share and help our brethren to do the same.
Our head, Sister Marguerite.
Yes, Sister Marguerite Shuck from the North Haven, Connecticut Ecclesia. I'd like to share a couple of scriptures that have helped me very much. One is Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And another one is still on peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Colossians 3:15. And I have many other precious promises and scriptures and manners that help me. But my concern, I've been sitting here listening to all these beautiful testimonies and the discourse that we had this morning, which I really enjoyed very much. I could get really out of control about concern for
our daughter, Sister Marilyn Shuck, who is consecrated. And it's been quite a joy for us to see her concern about her consecration, because she has trials that my husband and I can't possibly imagine how she gets through them. She's in a rest home. She has schizophrenia. She has other problems, illnesses of different kinds, and she's 58 years old. We almost lost her. She had heart failures twice in her 40s. We almost lost her twice. But later on, she decided to consecrate. She wanted to come to studies more often. She'd always been to the studies, but she wanted suddenly to come more often, have special studies with us, which we have complied with. And our ecclesia just consists of my husband, myself, and Marilyn. She's very concerned about her consecration. How do we help her when she hears voices? Recently she heard voices telling her to cut herself. Fortunately, she ran to her director where she's living in this rest home. And they're very helpful to her. They're just wonderful. And they quickly called the emergency and sent her up to Yale. Kept her overnight and monitored the voices and everything, and increased her medication. Now she's calmed down a bit. She just hears the hum, that's all, that's fine. But she asked us one time at the studies, she said, we were studying on faith, and she said, my faith has not been very good this week. And I have a copy of this article. She can't keep blueprints and stuff there. She has a room. So we copied it for her. How do we help her over, you know, to gain strength? I just don't know what to help her.
We're going to open that up. We know that the fleshly issues are covered by Christ's robe. So, but again, she's got to not take medication, as many of the brothers that I know have take medication, try to calm this physical thing to their problem. Continue to give reprints. I mean, she'll read them and she'll read them all, or, you know, whatever, but continue to do that as you can. The people at the home, have they suggested anything except medication for her?
What about her faith? That's what I'm concerned about, because the place she's in are taking care of what this girl needs. We don't have that worry, praise the Lord. But how do we help her to increase her faith so that her faith will help her when she goes through these things?
How do we help somebody increase her faith? Yeah. For that.
You know, there's no one instant, because we turn to the Lord for yourself. Every one of us is individual to the Lord. He doesn't work with us in his collective groups. He knows each one of his children. And as you all know, I went through a series of challenges self-wise, and I never turned to the world first, even the most pronounced of Christians, because I already had one, and he knows everything about me. So from back problems, to the cancers, to just general health, everything. He was my physician. And he already had natural ways of dealing with my needs, so that the world became his instrument in dealing with me. And that's why I sit here, because it's just a beautiful thing to know. I'll take care of the cancers. I'll take care of you not being able to walk for 5 or 6 months. Everything you put in his care and keeping. And I'm saying all that to say, as I share with my brethren all the time in testimonies and just in talking. When I asked the Lord that same question, he said to me, the moment you open your eyes in the morning, before you do anything else, don't even let your feet touch the floor. Before you do anything else, you say to me that you're putting everything about this day in your care and my Heavenly Father's care and keeping,
and according to his good will and pleasure. And when I open my eyes, I say that prayer, and then the rest of my day, no matter what's going on, good, bad, or in between, all of it is good, because I have now said that prayer. That works for me. I would suggest, and I say it for the benefit of my family, because I want their covering, and I know that if you say that prayer for your child, it's going to have a covering for them. Everything else is everything else, because you have already covered yourself, your home, your family, your loved ones, and anyone with whom you have to do it in that day. That prayer works for me. And I encourage all of my brethren, don't even let the carpet or hardwood in your home touch your feet until you've already put everything in God's care. Then I turn to the mirror. Then I turn to my precious promises, because that was the chart, so they're right there by the bed. But the first thing is, don't touch her until you have given it all over to God that morning. Works for me, and I know it will work for the rest of my life.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Marilee, and then Sister
Diane. Well, to me, there's two aspects of faith. One is our doctrinal stand, and the other is our reliance on the Lord. And personally, when I have difficulty and I've gone through some mental stresses, which to me, I always say physical stresses that I've had, and brethren will send cards, well, that's wonderful, but they're nothing like the mental stresses that nobody knows about. And I'm sure we've all had them. And you get those 24/7, you have to deal with yourself. But to me, the thing that always helps me out is the divine plan of the ages. This was mentioned before, because it shows God from everlasting to everlasting. And that's what I would encourage Sister Marguerite to mention to Marilyn. That is a faith structure. And then it shows his whole plan of salvation. And not just for those who claim consecration, but for everybody in the whole world. It gives purpose to every experience of life, including hers. There are many people in the world that have very, very debilitating mental sicknesses. And at least Marilyn is to such a point that in taking medication, she realizes that there's a responsibility. There's a lot of people who don't understand that. And it is very frustrating, not only for them, they may end up taking their own lives, but also for their family, because they can't help them. So to me, the strengthening part is our doctrinal stand that is what develops our character, appreciation of faith in Jesus, and in God, well, excuse me, in God, and then in Jesus.
Strong doctrine equals strong character.
Yeah, my heart really goes out to the shucks and to our dear Sister Marilyn for this experience, because as we all admit to, the mind is such a complex place, and the doctors don't understand it as well as ourselves, so I don't think we can even try and unravel what's going on there or explain it. But I certainly agree with the comments that the scripture saying that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so not only can our two brethren pray with their daughter in presence with her, but we also can pray on their behalf. And if you feel it's appropriate now or during the testimony meeting, I think that it would be lovely to do that as a group.
Brother Kim, would you please offer prayer?
Yeah.
Your sister.
Dear Heavenly Father, Holy Mother,
problems before us. Brother, the emergency system, why do we experience? As we go out for each one, we're having these difficult trials at this time. We do hold them up before we get by. We commend them on their sacrifice for their dear sister daughter in provoking her unto loving the works. And as the scriptures command us to do, we pray that they will not weary, will be faint in continuing on to provide the strength that Sister Marilyn needs, to be constantly reminded of your goodness and your mercy, of your unfailing love, to provide for each one of your children, each one of their varying experiences. The power of the Holy Spirit is beyond comparison, and the power of the Lord of truth is beyond comparison. And as we provide more and more of your Spirit to receive the strength that we need each and every day, we continue to hold them up before you. Give them the Spirit of sound mind to look for those promises and to share them with Sister Mel. Even if they have to do it several times a day or several times a week, keep her encouraged about God's love for her. And it has already been expressed God's love for all mankind. And the wonderful knowledge of your plan and purposes that we have received now to be a strength and comfort for us. So bless us all, dear Father, as we wait upon you. Pray for each other that we all will continue on faithfully to make our calling and our church for us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother. We make it a matter of our prayers. Pray for strength also in the
thank you all. Thank you, Brother.
Brother Jordan.
Well, now we have a good chance. The thoughtness of the brethren, and that they have some particular order. I don't want to go into details, but recently, Marilyn came up to me and she says, Mary, she says, in the range we have more stars. And I said, yes. And, we have to make a decision. And I won't go into any details of what the decision was, but it entailed, in order to comply with her request, we had to make a decision in order to be able to do that. And since then, it has helped her, and still is. But, as Sister Morgan has, clearly indicated, we are doing the best that we can to draw her deeper to the pin bone of the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
2 Corinthians 12:9, and he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my weaknesses, the power of Christ in my blessing. Sometimes when we approach these, we feel very weak. Other end.
If you have available the thoughts, I mean, the little computer.
No, I don't have it here.
Okay. But anyway, two promises. Hebrews, Romans 15:1-3. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength, not the things themselves. Each of us to please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but it has written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me. And the other scripture is Galatians 6:2, that we ought to bear not one another's burdens, but the word burdens means loads. It's like the ox pulling the plow takes two. And the idea is that we all ebb and flow. We all have, you know, all of us are not all weak at the same time. We're not all strong at the same time. And so it's by our support system that we have amongst each other that, and we should know each other to where we can share and share these burdens or these experiences together. Because we're not in this alone. You know, we have our Lord. But we also, like you were saying, we have each other to bear one another's loads. And it makes it a lot easier because a lot of the people I deal with, they're alone. And that causes their anxiety, their overwhelming, because they keep going out. And no one to talk to. But we have not only our Lord, but we have each other to where who else gets it? You know, the experiences that we go through. And the Lord always provides that person or a group of people that understand and get our experiences. You know, and if we plug into, like, our networking, our group of brothers that are happy to share these experiences. You know, just like our Lord is happy to share these experiences with people in the home care. And it's a privilege to be able to share and go on with experiences with our brothers.
Sister Joyce.
Thank you. Our grandchildren, we have three of them, they're about 1,000 miles away from us and have been in situations that have been dangerous. And sometimes they have nightmares, they'll tell us about those. And we always tell them, as soon as you start to get a nightmare, if you can, try to wake yourself up and say a prayer to the Lord to send his guardian angels to protect your thoughts and your actions. And I know what Sister Diane Lucas was saying is true. The prayers of a righteous man avail much because the brethren have prayed for our grandchildren. And it's not only have he provided help in a lot of times, but the brethren have been additional blessings to them and have lifted them up in the most communication that you can have your daughter have with the brethren as well. Maybe another assistance to you. So I thank you for your prayers and for your love and for your caring about our grandchildren and for continuing that as well. We are thankful for that and be thankful.
I was thinking about what Brother Ed was saying, my faith, my thoughts were right along the line with him. The Lord has provided us with wonderful technology, and I'm not a techie person, but I love the part of it that serves his children. I have a pre-teleconference number that serves up to 1,000 people, but I also run my own business, Live Conversations. So we're not a family of three. We are a family of all of the ones God has called into this family. And so you don't have to think of yourself as a creature of three. It's a creature of whoever God has put in this family. And saying that to say, if you need to have more members attend that meeting, invite us in. Invite my teleconference in. I want her to know that Bernice Swan, looking to the Ecclesia, is part of your Ecclesia, because we are one family in Christ. Don't ever think you are alone. And it will hold up to 1,000, so the rest of you can join us too.
Sister Joyce. I like an ambitious proposal. That's wonderful. And you do take advantage of those things. Take another opportunity for you to include a few more brethren on this and some other inputs. And, more the better. Yeah. All right, brethren. Cheryl, last one, and we got to move because we have about 3 minutes to keep you answer your questions.
Just because I think this is such a very, very important topic, I want to bring 3 other scriptures in here. We have Mark 9:24, where he says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, and that, I don't know the scripture right from there, but that it's okay to say, I don't have enough faith. Speak in my faith, help me. The second is Philippians 1:6. Which is that being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then Romans 14:4, which is, who are you who judge another servant? To his own Lord he stands above. Yes, he will be made to stand, for God has the power to make him stand. And so, if you don't believe that the Lord can do something in your own consecration, in spite of your flesh, which has been forgiven, that's under the ransom. If you don't believe that, either you're doubting God's ability or his willingness. And he is willing and he is able.
And he will. Question number 3. This falls in with exactly what we're talking about. How can we express our faith in God as the future under control, that avoid giving the impression to others who are suffering that we are unprepared? We spent 6 of 7, and this is being written about the pastor after his death. The pastor was a most sympathetic comforter. He offered an attentive ear, a sympathizing heart, cheerful word, and an encouraging thought. He was an optimistic well-wisher. He always put the best construction on everything. He gave each one credit for good attention, and he was a cheerful helper. Nothing pleased him more than to serve others. He was continually thinking and planning how he could help by counsel, by example, by deeds. Every rightly disposed person who came in contact with him was refreshed and encouraged. The pastor's attitude toward others is not condescending, but empathetic with him. And this is the part that we can take, and that's the part we just took in this situation. Occupying our minds in ways that we can serve the brethren. That's what this is about. And hopefully what we've done has helped you.
Amen to that one.
Question 4. What scriptures help us distinguish essential from non-essential earthly matters? I'd offer for you reprint 4871. Christian's attitude and the duties of life. And whatever we do, we should do all together unto the Lord. And our chief cornerstone in life should be 4 things. According to this. Number 1, we should glorify God. Number 2, we should serve Him as directed by the Lord. To serve the brethren, number 3. And number 4, all men as we have opportunity, again, especially to the household. Ephesians 5:15-16 say, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because days are evil. So, are there any other scriptures that help distinguish essential from non-essential?
Mm-hmm.
the scripture that came to my mind is, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all other things shall be added unto
you. Okay, thank you. So it's what our objectives are in our Christian walk, which direction are we headed, and what's important to us. Any others? Sister Diane?
I'm not finding the exact reference, but in the interest of time, set your affections on things above. So prioritizing.
Okay, so. Yeah?
Just a few things on the essential earthly. Is 1 Timothy 5:4. If any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, and then make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. And then 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So there are essential mortgages.
Absolutely. But again,
First Timothy 6, it says, piety or godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and obviously we can carry nothing out. When we have food and clothing, we shall be content with these. Those who are eager to be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into numerous thoughtless and hurtful cravings that plunge people into destruction and ruin. I think the book of Brother Thomas trying to help us with in the previous session of how to balance these things out. I know the article does mention about prioritizing, not accumulating wealth, not setting it aside beyond a certain point. And I think this varies with each one. Some have more excess and some have less excess. But we probably know that we can't have at least some who are willing to set aside to share with others. And I think that's part of the commandment that is given to us, that no matter what we have, we should not spend it all on ourselves, but we should be able to provide decently for our own, not luxuriously, but decently, and then to have something to give to others in common. And this is saying carefully, this varies with different ones, and the overall allotment of those things in that can still fulfill the responsibility. So some may have more responsibility because they have more worldly goods. Some would have the same responsibility even though they might have less worldly goods. More that's given is more responsibility.
We have the scripture in Luke 16:9. Your task will be back in the back. About making sins of the mammon of unrighteousness. King James doesn't read too well there, but I appreciated the New International Reading Version. It says, I tell you, use the riches of this world to help others. In that way, you will make friends for yourselves. Then, when your riches are gone, you will be welcomed into your eternal home in heaven. Mr. Captain.
Just a real quick, it was one statement that I read on time management. What you do today is important because you are exchanging a day of your life for it. I think it's a helpful
spiritual.
In my years with the truth, I've never seen anything that was non-essential. Everything is essential, brethren. We have to separate our worldly duties, our technical duties, if you will, from the spiritual duty. Those things that we learned as truth are all essential. Every one of them. There's none. I've never seen a truth that was non-essential. Maybe you have. I haven't. I've heard that expression many times, simples and not simples about the truth. I cannot reason that way. I can reason that we have worldly or secular obligations. From the shepherd, truth is something else. This is dealing with the new creature. And dealing with the new creature, they are a shepherd. Thank you.
Time for one or two more comments. Sister Nellie?
I don't know whether that has been brought up, but from the time that we're a child, which we had nothing to do about, we were brought into this world by one being or another, we made, at the time of our maturity, we made decisions. Those decisions add on whatever mortgages we determine. We have to live with them afterwards. The point is, how many mortgages should be taken on at that time? And that I don't see very much stress amongst the brethren. We take it from the point of where these mortgages have already been established and said, now let's use these mortgages properly. But Brother Russell, in the sixth volume, does apply prior to taking on any of these mortgages and how we should carefully discern whether or not they are actually acceptable to the Lord and what we should do. So I know I'm a minority in speaking on that, but I feel very strongly that we should contemplate taking on these mortgages. And every mortgage we attach to ourselves, then we have a responsibility. But, I mean, should we buy 17 dresses if you only need two? Should you have two cars if you only need one? Should you have a house? Should you have children? Should you get married? Should you live in this location or in that location? These are all mortgages on our time, and we are responsible to the Lord, but we're first responsible for our decisions.
Thank you. We've been 4, 5, 6, 7, I quote, God's people are to be frugal, to avoid debts, beforehanded, and with some reserve of capital. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind and snow. Dear friends, we've had a time of upbringing and inspiration as our brethren share their hearts, experiences, and the hope that these tools will help each one of us better control our feelings of worry and anxiety. If we believe that we are drinking out of a cup which the Father has poured, these experiences are necessary for us, then He will bring us through it, or He will provide a way of escape. I'll leave you with 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will lift the temptation also in the way of escape.